Everyone, we are back. Yes, the Hellbound podcast has returned from its hiatus. I am actor Michael Chan from the Popularity Papers.
And I am filmmaker Alex Blackburn, and we're here back again, returning again. After a little bit of a break, I think we kind of both needed with work, family stuff, all of that jazz. It's going to be an interesting one because we're going to talk about a couple of films, Cocaine Bear and Renfield, which I feel lucky to have watched in the cinema. And it's coming out on demand soon, I think. So it should be available for you to see if you've not already seen it, Michael.
Finally.
But yeah.
I'm in the unfortunate group of people that that really just can't go to a movie theater. My dad's too old and I just can't afford to get COVID and give it to him. I also, you know, my daughter's condition makes it that her lungs aren't as strong as everybody else's as well. So no theaters for me. I only ever go if I absolutely must, like when I went to the special screening of Spinning Gold, which is produced by my agent, Jessica Martins, and Hero Entertainment. Fantastic film, by the way. Absolutely amazing film. But that was the like one time I've been to a movie theater in like 2 years. And then the last time I went, it was still during the pandemic, but it was like one of those mommy and children things where like Basically no one, it was empty. It was empty. Like there was no one there. So, and then like, so we brought our kid and like, you know, the lights are partially like they're on and like the volume's turned down. And we saw a movie of our kid with nobody else there. And that's it. That's like two times I've been to a theater. So I'm glad Renfield's coming to streaming soon because like I really want to see that.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's not done a huge amount of business. I think it's done pretty poorly, but I think it's a return to a certain degree. And you don't necessarily have to say that it's a return for Nicolas Cage, but it's very Raging Cajun, and I've got to say one of my favorite depictions of Dracula. Purely for his approach, and there's things with makeup which are not in the marketing, not in the trailers, not in the posters, that are just incredible. I think it's just a lot. Nicholas Holt, I think, is one of my favorite British actors, and the two of them together, the chemistry is really good. Absolutely hilarious film, and the way it opens, I won't spoil it because it's, if I describe it, it's real spoiler territory for just the design. Renfield, I absolutely recommend it. I think you and Jess will, in particular, will absolutely love it. I hope so.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I love vampire stuff, and I love Nicholas Holt. I love Nick Cage, so I'm pretty sure. The trailer looked fantastic. Yeah. So it's one of the films that we've been really, really wanting to see. Yeah. Mind you, I would like to say that Nicolas Cage returning to be really good in something prior to the Renfield would be the unbearable weight of massive talent, because that movie, oh my God.
Yeah, especially so the two versions he plays, yeah.
Of himself? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so good. And Pedro Pascal's in there. Guys, if you haven't seen The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, do it. You will not be disappointed. And you will finally understand that meme that's going around on TikTok where, you know, you have Nicolas Cage going, ugh, and then Pedro Pascal going, yeah! Like, you'll finally get
it. So. Yeah.
Renfield. Yeah.
But the way it opens, there's a kind of a big... There's action and then there's kind of a historic kind of Dracula approach. That's the kind of way I'd skirt around it. But you're thrown in straight away. The kind of the world building within a world of Dracula and Renfield as real historic universal characters. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought I'd enjoy it going in, but I was kind of raving about it and how much I enjoyed it to my wife. As soon as I got home, because she wasn't able to, she's not quite well at the moment. So I went with a friend of mine that I hadn't seen for 20 years. We hit each other up on Instagram, And then we just had a great, great laugh. And it's one of those things that you know, you're kind of really happy to have seen it. And halfway through, I think I said to my friend, I'm so happy I've seen this. Just, it doesn't matter if you've seen it in the cinema, as long as you see it, I think that, yeah, I'm absolutely stoked. It's like I've got this kind of infectious enthusiasm about the film. So anyone that's asking about something to go and see in the theater, if they can, I definitely recommend this. And it's absolutely right. Hilarious. It's so, the violence is very, very, it's not violence, it's more gore than anything else. And it's so ridiculous. And the stages of Dracula, that's all I'll say about his makeup, is a marvel, really. Like, I don't know what budget it was, but it's pretty, pretty stellar. I absolutely loved it.
So if you're talking about craziness and all that, and we're talking about Nick Cage, I don't know how you could possibly not have liked Cocaine Bear, which you have made very clear in a previous episode, while me over here and my wife, we loved it.
Yeah. I wanted to look, because I like ridiculous. I like Cue the Winged Serpent. I like all sorts of ridiculousness, but there's certain things that, I think there's frequencies in sound that if you and I were in the same room, that we react, but like nails on the chalkboard, some people react badly to it, some don't. And I feel that was kind of my reaction. I reacted poorly to this because there was thinking about it, when you explain it, it sounds really funny, but for me, my palate, it didn't kind of sit well with, I'm going to spoil it, children doing cocaine effectively. And
okay, well, for those who don't know or haven't heard of this, it's a movie about an oddball group of cops, criminals, tourists, and teens. They converge on a Georgia forest where a huge black bear goes on a murderous rampage after unintentionally ingesting cocaine, which at the beginning of the film you see it's just like dropped from like an airplane, from one of those drug drops, and it ends up in a forest, and then the bears ingest it. I mean it is as insane as it sounds. It's directed by Elizabeth Banks. And yes, it's that Elizabeth Banks, the actual Elizabeth Banks, and not like director Elizabeth Banks, the actor Elizabeth Banks. And it has Kerry Russell. It even has like Jesse Taylor Ferguson from like Modern Family in there, and a bunch of other actors like Ray Liotta. This movie is made to be insane. And it, by the way, it's inspired by true events. So they made, I mean, it, this is not what happened for real, but there was cocaine dropped into a forest and some bears had it. But like, the reality is, like, we all know going in, this is supposed to be just dumb. So you're going to have, since this is like a really expensive movie, a very good looking movie with like plot holes galore, insanity galore, terrible acting, ridiculous CG, plot armor, like everything you could possibly think of that's dumb, this movie's gonna have. But like, so like, anyone who watches it should definitely, like, I don't know, I know you don't like it and I love it, but like, just go in with that, knowing that, don't expect like Shakespeare.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Like, don't expect an award-winning indie film. This is not. This is like just pure insanity. And you know, if you go in after, you know, adding some recreational substance.
do you think it can be better? Do you think this is not a polarizing film because it hasn't got the kind of on the themes to suggest that? Do you think that you'll either really love it or dislike it? Do you think
it depends on a lot of things, like personality and your tolerance for ridiculous.
That should be on the back of the Blu-ray.
Because seriously, like, my tolerance is really high
for insanity, because like I'm a dork in real life, and my life, you know, is super stressful. So this level of just pure chaos, which is what this is, it's absolute pure multi-million dollar chaos, which is great. I mean, like, I love seeing production companies throw millions of dollars, not tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands, because those are low budget indies, and that chaos is its own thing. It's beautiful. But this is on another level when a studio throws this many millions to make it look this good, only to have it be like a train wreck that I really enjoy staring at.
A train wreck on steroids or on coke.
Very,
Sounds about
very
right, yeah.
much. But I don't know. I mean, this movie has done well enough and has enough fans that I think they're going to explore other similar animal on drugs movies, if I've
This
heard right.
is a
So
great
Snuggle Game Bear
subgenre,
2, I think it's something meth alligator. I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about essentially more of this. So I mean,
wow.
it has worked.
Did it do great business?
It has done great business, yes.
Wow. I did
I'm
enjoy
trying to
seeing,
find
I know it's a really tiny role, Matthew Reese appear at the beginning, the in the plane.
Oh, yes, you're right, yes.
Really enjoy. I was just found him on IMDb, but and
Dude.
I'm a big fan of Isaiah Whitlock Jr. as well. I think that's him. Yeah, from he was amazing in The Wire.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
But
dude, dude,
cast is,
$35 million.
that's what the budget was.
Oh yeah.
And what was the kind of
Worldwide gross, 87,102,510. They made money.
Wow, that's
Yep.
amazing. Who's Jesse Tyler Ferguson in the film? Because I know him from Modern Family.
He's the guy with like the mustache and like the plaid shirt and the
Yes.
bandana around his neck.
Yes. I've got to say the effects and where the budget went. Obviously, the cast was going to be wasn't necessarily going to be cheap, but the actual effects of the bear itself, I thought it was pretty solid, really quite solid.
It was solid, yeah.
Yeah, and I did enjoy the scene with the ambulance. Is it Awkwafina's? Is that right? Was the ambulance driver? Or is that someone else? Who was it? I'm sure it was. No, it wasn't. I'm thinking of the cop from Renfield. That was who that was. But yeah, I'll definitely give it another viewing. And
I do get that you didn't like the scene where the kids accidentally imbibed the stuff.
yeah, I'm honestly open to anything. Like Birdemic, I watched it. I'm open to watching anything. But I don't know, something with like, yeah, there was something, the way it was done and
I had
kids
no
doing
problem
that.
with how it ended up happening.
Yeah.
And just know, like, child actors have parents, so
Yeah.
if their parents are okay with this happening,
Yeah, there is no, absolutely. When it comes to a performance and what they can do, and obviously they'll have, like to think they'll be protected on set against all sorts of things, but
I mean, dude, have you not watched a Psycho Goreman?
yeah.
Okay, that little girl. Who's probably not a little girl anymore, but that little girl, when she did that movie, was bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, that is adult R-rated level performance. And I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about like the swearing, the gore, everything.
Yeah.
This is a little kid.
I think I'm not sure if it's probably a little bit of something in the writing about it feels like dialogue for an adult, and sometimes that doesn't necessarily, I'm not saying you have to be Elliot from E.T. or anything, but it just, I don't know, it kind of jarred with me a little bit.
Really? Have you seen,
Yeah.
oh, what's his name? Manny?
that kid from, again, probably not a kid anymore, from Modern Family, he goes on talk shows, went on talk shows, sorry, when he was in the show when he was a kid, and just listening to him talk, it's that.
Right, I see, yeah.
Meaning, I felt it was fine, only in that a lot of kids tend to do that anyways.
Yeah.
Have you ever read, like, teenagers writing reviews for movies?
No, movie. Probably never.
Look, this is not a knock on this generation of teens, because I'm pretty sure I wrote just as badly back then when I was a teen. But you can tell that it's a teenager. Like, ignore the grammar, ignore the abbreviations and NetSpeak. Just ignore all that for a sec. Even when they don't use all that stuff, it doesn't matter. There is a way that they talk or type or whatever they write where they're trying to sound like an adult, trying to sound like they're writing like a very intelligent piece. And I'm not saying it's not intelligent. I'm just saying you're trying to hide your age and it's not working.
Yeah, I see.
But the stuff they use, the attempts with the sentence structure, everything, is an attempt to sound like you're 20, 30 years older than you really are.
Yeah.
So it's adult dialogue or writing or whatever, but there's always something off.
Yeah.
They can't quite get it. And that's how I felt about this stuff with this movie. And I don't know, that's why it works for me.
I finally managed to watch Megan as well.
You like it?
Yeah, there was a lot I liked. I can't remember the lead actress's name. Let me find it. She was in...
I love Megan. That's such a good movie.
Let me find it now. Alison Williams. I really like Alison Williams. I think she's great. But I think the setup was really fun, and it was far enough away from Chucky and the idea of a killer doll this is a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's essentially if you compare that to the really crappy Chucky movie where he was.
Yeah.
I know the one. This one did it right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Chucky did it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we're going to cut it short there, Michael.
Yeah, I'm okay with that today. Just a little quickie.
Yeah, we needed to catch up, and it was a little quickie. Yeah, it's good to finally catch up because I know we've got lots going on, and we're going to have Ian Rayburn on the show as a filler inner as well, which is going to be great.
Nice. We're also going to be eventually, we got to schedule it, but interviewing Scott Dion Brown.
Yes.
And reviewing his short film.
Yep. Okay. Scott Dion Brown. Okay. Yeah. That sounds
Before
great.
Before we leave, I did mention this right at the start, something that I haven't said in previous episodes, which is I am from the TV show Popularity Papers, and that's because something I've been holding on for a long time now is that I am one of the leads in the TV show Popularity Papers, which is airing in Canada right now every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on YTV. That's on cable, and also Stack TV, which is on Amazon Prime. It's a subscription package on Amazon Prime that gets you like live TV from multiple channels in Canada, as well as on-demand stuff. So like, if you're in Canada right now and you have Stack TV, our episodes are on demand after they air, like a day after they air. So you can catch up on Popularity Papers. It's not horror. It's a show. It's a family show. It's about two girls who, 12-year-olds, they're entering middle school, and they see all these, you know, popular kids, but there's different types of popular kids, and And our leads, Julie and Lydia, they aren't popular themselves. So they're like, so how do we become popular? Because we think it'll be better for our lives that we're popular. And so they employ the scientific method, which they are taught at school on their first day, and start doing social experiments to discover what a pop like what makes people popular. So every episode's a different experiment. And the whole point of all of this is, as a show, the overall message is that they're, popularity is a myth, right? So what you're actually watching through this the show is that these two girls, by doing all this stuff, get out there and start really kind of figuring themselves out, finding out who they really are, and then become more and more authentic instead of just trying to, put on a mask and be popular. Because really, in reality, popularity is a myth. So it's a nice thing to see. Now I play Julia's one of Julia's dads. Because she's adopted by a gay couple. And so yeah, it's a really we play a really sweet family. And yeah, it's amazing.
I've got to say, I've been watching the clips you've been kind of forwarding to or posting on Facebook and Instagram, and it looks like I can only, as a filmmaker, when you see behind the scenes of a production happening, you kind of get a vibe of how fun it must have been. And before you go, and I just wanted to ask you, it must have been an absolute blast working with that cast, because there was a scene where is it you're going camping and you're
Yes.
near a cave? I swear I
Yeah.
recognize that cave from something else as well. But yeah, it must have been an absolute blast for this cast, right?
It was. The whole cast, the whole crew, everyone. This is legitimately the most positive and fun set I've ever been on. We also are very, very happy with the diversity and inclusion, both in front of and behind the camera. We actually are one of the rare productions where the makeup of our entire team is very, very, very diverse and also very representative of the communities that, we live in,
Yeah.
which is a big deal. Plus, because we have, Asian leads, as well as many other diversities represented, we actually have a diverse writing room as well.
Okay.
So like it's been great, and everyone's lovely. Working with kids, it's new for me, but it's something I've being on a kid show is something I've wanted to do forever, and being on YTV, which is a channel I grew up watching, is being it's a dream come true. And
Yeah.
it's nice because like what you learn is that I've been doing this for 17 years and I'm in my 40s. And here are these like 12, 13, 14-year-olds. I know what I was like when I was that age. And yeah, I was not like them. These kids are disciplined. They're smart. They're multi-talented. They're raised really well. They have incredible manners. They're caring. They're compassionate. There's so much to them. And while I was 12 years old and arguing with a friend over freaking Dragon Ball Z cards, well, these kids are like dancers, acrobats, singers. One of them already has two singles they released. Another one is, winning, Glee plays my daughter Julie. She's like winning dance competitions. She's like a prolific voice actor. She's on Thomas the Tank Engine. So
Wow.
like I. Like how? I don't know how they do this, but that's why, as a veteran of this industry, of someone as someone who's done this a long time, to be, on set for 5 months, shooting 26 episodes with these kids, is, they always talk about, oh my God, Michael, you've been here so long. Chris, Chris Jacko, who plays my husband, you've been here for 20 years. You two, we all look up to you. And the two of us are like, no, you kids don't understand. We're learning from you.
Yeah, that sounds
We
like a
look up to
great
you.
collaboration. Yeah.
And that's what's so beautiful about this whole thing, because it is like that, right? Just such a happy place to be. And it really comes through on the screen for our audience that just how much love there is put into this show, which is why you'll see that it looks really amazing. Like, this is a Canadian show, and there is a Canadian look to most Canadian shows and movies, but our production, everyone was just so into it. We actually look, oddly enough, very, very American, very cinematic for a Canadian show. That's just a testament to the incredible work being done to make it look so freaking good by our crew. And then we have like an incredible writing team that, you know, doesn't treat children like they're stupid, like they wouldn't understand what we're trying to say. So instead of dumbing down the scripts, they make it real. We are, you know, it's the speed at which we talk is like getting up there with Gilmore Girls. Like, we're pretty fast, and it's not something you see in any kid shows, really.
Is that 26 episodes, that one season, or?
That is one season.
Wow. Wow.
Which is rare, because you know how most shows now are like 8, 10, 13.
It's almost like a UK thing now, because we're like, I'm sure it started here where it's like 6 to 8 episodes was the max. And what, you had like the West Wing or a massive show that every show was 22, 24 episodes. So it's really interesting. And how long are each episode?
30 minutes.
Wow, man. That's a lot of filming as well. But no, congrats on that. We'll post a link in the, what we'll do whilst the show is on, we'll continue to post the link to it in the podcast so you can get more information there. Congrats on that, Mike. It's fantastic.
I didn't say my character name. My character is Alex Chang.
Well, best name, the best name.
Yeah. And if you remember, I cosplayed myself last year at a convention. A joke, which is why I had a name tag that says, "Hi, my name is Alex."
That's so it's inside baseball, and I love it.
It's a meta. It's a very meta.
Yeah.
Cosplay, but no one, like, people are like, "Who are you? Why?" I'm like, "Oh, I love this book series," which is what my show's based on.
The fact that you can cosplay as yourself in multiple shows now is pretty stellar.
Oh my god, yeah, I actually can cosplay as myself repeatedly. Actually, you know, like, I actually have my outfit from Mayday here, like the not the actual wardrobe, but like I have the equivalents.
Awesome.
My episode of the first time I was on Mayday.
So you almost got it, just to kind of before we kind of I'll ask you to close us out. You can cosplay. Alex can cosplay as your Star Trek character. You know, you've got like layers to the cosplay. Yeah.
Yeah. Hypothetically, I can be my character cosplaying as one of my other characters. Yes.
And that's the true sign of a doppelganger doing something like that. So,
yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you can sign us off, Mike. Yeah,
I'm a doppelganger.
Absolutely, you definitely are. Yeah. If you can sign us out, that'd be great.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for sticking with us, and you know, we're happy to have you all back after our hiatus. If you love what you're listening to, we have more online for you. To see, we have social media. We're on Instagram as The Hellbound Podcast. We would love to feature your horror stuff, like, I don't know, cosplay, art, music, whatever you want. If you want to be featured on our Instagram, please send us a private message. Again, that's at The Hellbound Podcast. And as always, don't forget to like and subscribe to us on your podcast platforms and on social media. So thank you so much for listening, and harness the darkness.